Hi, I'm Lionel Rexenosian. It's the Influence of the Spirit. We will be coming at you week after week with solid nuggets, solid points on how to increase your intimacy with the Holy Ghost, growing in revelation of who you are in Christ. Just walk him in that enhanced life, that spirit walk life. It's going to be exciting. So please follow me on all social media handles, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. This will be amazing. It will be wonderful to grow together with you, grow in the things of the Spirit and in our walk, you know, and continuous exercise in the Holy Ghost. So looking forward to having you follow all the conversations we'll be having. It will be amazing. Hello and welcome. Welcome to your weekly episode, The Influence of Spirit. I believe it's always a wonderful time, you know, to be together here. And I'm excited. This entire month of September, we'll be dealing with something like super, super interesting, super sensitive. But I need to say, last Sunday we talked about spiritual body and I thought I might, you know, do a full series on it this month. But there's a need to deal with this topic in particular, right? And so what's that? We're talking about death and life. Two great forces on this earth. Two great forces we come in contact with ever so often, okay? Whether we're conscious of it or we're not conscious of it, all right? So we're going to look into God's word and talk about the origin, all right, of death. Because many times things happen and you wonder, okay, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things even happen at all? I mean, who let the dog out? You know, who opened the cage and let things go bad and like super horrible and all of that? So we will, all right, deal with that today. So are you ready? You might want to quickly call a friend, you know, get someone's attention and like, hey, there's something going on. All right, I want you to hear it. I want you to talk about it. You know, because, I mean, have you ever wondered? I mean, why do we fall sick? Why do people die? Why are there accidents? Why are there so many horrible things going on all over the world? Is this God's will? Is God like just watching things go on? No, there's a system called death that was unleashed, all right, released upon the earth. But there's the antidote and it's called life, all right? Not just being alive, but eternal life. And that's what this monthly series is all about. And I believe this will greatly bless you. Amen. So let me pick it from a very popular place in the Bible. Moses is speaking to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. And that's the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. So you know what it is, all right? So Deuteronomy 30, and then the 15th verse of Deuteronomy 30, Moses says here, hey, guys, see, NKJV, right? I'm using New King James, all right? I set before you today life and good, death and evil. So he says, I set before you today life and good, death and evil. So we skip to the 19th verse of the same, you know, Deuteronomy 30, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So Moses puts out the two forces. Moses did not initiate this concept. Moses did not initiate this idea. But Moses is saying, hey, there is the evil that is upon the earth, but then there's the good that God has provided. I'll take that again. There is the evil that is upon the earth. Then there's the good that God has provided. Please get this in mind. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Life and death, two forces. There's a force called life. Then there's a force called death. All right? Two forces. How did they get into it? We'll run quickly to Genesis. So Genesis and then, you know, verse chapter 1, verse 26, we see here, God is simply saying, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, all right, him, and male and female, he created them. Verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that lives and moves upon the earth. So God created man, God blessed man. What is blessing? Deuteronomy chapter 13:19. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. So blessing is life. It's a pronouncement for increase. It is good, right? So you draw a chart, all right? Mental chart if you can. Life and good, death and evil. That's the 15th verse of Deuteronomy 30. Life and good, death and evil, all right? So life is good, death is evil. Does that help? Life and good, life is good, all right? Death and evil, death is evil, right? And then the 19th verse. Life and blessing, death and cursing. So anywhere there is the blessing, that means there is life. And please, it's not being alive. There's a substance. We're going to look at it and you would love it, right? There's a substance. Glory to God. It's being, you know, much more than being alive. It's enjoying a full flourishing abundance, a supernatural existence, all right? A supernatural source of comfort and existence, if I could call it that way. If you remember in Isaiah chapter 60, right, Bible says that the sun shall no longer be your light by day, neither will the moon give you light by night. It says, but God will be your everlasting light and God will be your glory. So he said the natural won't sustain you anymore. There will be a supernatural sustainer. So that's what blessing is. If you remember how that Abraham, Bible lets us know that Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines, but then he gave all right, to Isaac. What was the all? The blessing. Because when Isaac was going to depart, all right, from the earth, he called Esau and said, hey, bring me venison, all right, good, you know, meaty stew, all right, that I may bless you. And you remember the story. Jacob came in the stead, all right, acting, pretending to be like Esau, got the blessing. Esau walks and says, Dad, I brought you, you know, the venison. I've killed it, I've cooked it, I've spiced it and stewed it up. Here it is. Enjoy. And then he says, hey, who was the guy that left here? I just blessed you. He says, no, I'm just coming. Oh, dear love, that was your brother. And you could, you know, Esau felt, no problem. Forget about him. Bless me. Isaac said, no, I have blessed him. He will be blessed. You could almost on that, weren't they mere words? No, they were not. Right? It was a transference of a substance. It was the blessing. God blessed Adam. All right? And then that blessing upon Adam was what he used in sustaining. How could a man, all right, be able to create a capacity of himself, all right, to sustain the Garden of Eden? How could a man live with the lion and the zebra and everybody else or everything else? And then there was a blessing. It was the life of God. It carried the peace of God. Please, you got to get this. Now, everything was good. Remember in Genesis, everything God made, it was good, it was good, it was good. All right? Every single thing God did here was good. Now we'll go to the second chapter of Genesis and then the 7th verse, first of all. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and man and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. So this is the formation now, right? In Genesis, we see the intention. Let us make man. And then he summarizes how that God made them and blessed them. But here now the formation. God formed man from the dust of the ground, breath into his nostrils, and voila, man became a living soul. So Bible tells us from the 8th verse that the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground he made every tree to grow, and it gives us a description of all of that. We'll go straight to the 15th verse, Genesis 2. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you will not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Now people come up and say, if God knew that he would eventually touch it, why did God put the tree there? You might have had to ask that question. We don't have time to get into all that today, but point is you get over into the New Testament and there was no mention of a tree. So this, like the book of Revelations, or the book of Revelations has a lot of figurative speech and analogies and all of that. So you have to interpret purely and properly. So in the New Testament, so the Bible is quiet in the New Testament about there being a tree. But one thing was clear, there was disobedience to something that God said to Adam. Let's not get into all that, but stay on the point of God said, the day you do this, the day you disobey, you will die. So God simply tells us that there's something called death. You haven't experienced it. You don't want to ever experience it. All right. Don't do the wrong thing. Don't open the door. This thing's trying to get in. Don't open the door. Don't let it come in. You'll get this in a minute. So get to the third chapter and then you know the story. All right. Yeah, but let me read it up to you. So where do we pick it up? All right. Verse 6 of Genesis 3. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate, right? And she gave it to her husband with her and he ate. And verse 7 says, and they both died. No, verse 7 says, and the eyes of both of them were opened. You almost wonder, but God said it would die. Why didn't they die? So you have to understand death here. There is death as physical cessation of life, but there is death as being cut off from the life source. I'm sure you've seen fan, all right? We've all had fans, right? A standing fan or a ceiling fan, some form of fan, right? Even the air conditioner has some fan rolling, you know, somewhere in its rooftop. Cars have fans, all right? Them fans around the radiator or something. Fan, all right? When you turn the fan off, the blades are still running for a couple of seconds. So you find here that Adam physically was still standing. God spoke to him. And then God got them out of the garden and all of that and said they shouldn't touch the tree of life. All right. So obviously there was a life around and then there was death around. It's interesting. So this concept of life and death was not introduced or initiated or, you know, it wasn't something Moses came up with. God said there is a tree of life. They shouldn't touch it. If they touch it, they'll live forever. So question was, why didn't Adam eat that? Not talk for today. Adam ate what he shouldn't have eaten, or Adam did what he shouldn't have done, and Adam opened the door to what he shouldn't have opened the door to, something happened. It gets worse, guys. All right, so the Lord in verse 9 called Adam and said to him, where are you? So God is asking, like God didn't know, but something is going on wrong here. Skip. To the woman, verse 16, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you will bring forth children. Your desire will be to your husband and he will rule over you. Being head, all right, is ruling, is different, is rule, all right. 17 is, I want you to see something. Then to Adam, he said, because you heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree from which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, all right. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it will bring up for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the fruit of the field. In the sweat of your face you will eat the bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, dust you are, and to dust you return. So for the woman, conception, all right, childbearing and everything will be difficult, and then she becomes subservient to the man. And then to the man, he says, the ground is tough, but I love to say, God did not curse them. I said, but he did. No, he said the ground is cursed for your sake. It's like maybe you're watching, you know, a football game on TV, and I tell you, hey, there's like food on the fire, right? Don't get carried away with the game and then let the thing burn. So you do get carried away and then it burns. So you're watching a popular series or something you just want to watch, all right? And then the food gets burnt. And then I come in and say, see, the food is burnt because you were not focused on it. I didn't make the food get burnt. I didn't burn the food. The door was open to something called death. Oh, you need to get this. Death is an enemy. And God knew that this enemy, all right, obviously, Satan, you know, in operation is death. All right, God is saying, hey, this is the enemy and he wants to wreak havoc in this place. Don't open the door. For no reason. Don't walk in disobedience. Don't walk in unbelief. Don't open the door. So I don't get this. I just feel God should have put that tree in the middle of the garden and da da and da 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 and that. All right. So Romans, in the 5th chapter of Romans, you see something here. I remember when I saw this, I'm like, oh, I see it. So Romans 5 and the 12th verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because of sin. You need to get with what we just read. Through one man, sin entered the world. Through one man, death entered the world. One man. He didn't say through God. You need to get this. So God did not bring death. He didn't even say the enemy brought the death. Please get this. The enemy brought it to the door. But who let the dog out? Or in this case, who let the dog in? It was Adam. So the dog is right out the door. Don't open the door. Don't open the door. Don't open the door. All right? You need to get this. Through one man, all right, sin entered the world and death entered through sin. So death spread upon all men. This death is not physical death. This death is spiritual death. So people could be alive physically and yet dead. There is spiritual death. Spiritual death is the mother of physical death. Nobody would ever die physically if there were no spiritual death. What is spiritual death? Once again, it's a disconnection from the life source. What is spiritual death? A disconnection from the life source. You turn the fan off, the blades are still running. Then after a while, the blades stop running, the fan is still. Why? It is turned off, all right? Unplugged. So Adam disconnected from his source. God was his source, his life source, all right? It's like you uproot a plant. It is disconnected from its life source. It doesn't wither right there in your hand like in 10 seconds. No, it doesn't. It still looks alive for a while. You could still walk up to a friend and say, hey, I just plucked this from some tree somewhere or some flower somewhere, plucked it from a plant somewhere. I just want to hand it over to you. Isn't it nice? And you guys look at it for a few, you know, seconds or maybe minutes. You could even get it home and then plant it properly and water it, and the thing keeps living. But if it's sustained in that state of being disconnected from a life source, it will wither. So Adam did not just unplug himself. Adam unplugged humanity from the life source. You need to get this. I said in Genesis chapter 1, God blessed Adam. How could Adam live with the animals? And then nobody's like angry at him. Nobody's trying to bite him up. Nobody's trying to eat him. I mean, no creature, right? He's trying to eat him up. They all passed in front of Adam. And Adam was able to name them. That was a blessing. There was a life source that was flowing freely, such that there was peace, not just with Adam or within Adam, but that peace pervaded the entire space of Adam's operation. Oh, glory to God. Even the animals felt it. I believe this was a similar atmosphere that Noah enjoyed in the ark. Noah did not have to run around to get all those animals. They were coming towards him too. And then how could all of them have spent that much time in the ark and they didn't eat themselves up? There was a presence. There was that blessing. There was that life. So this is available. So in as much as Adam opened the door, but that's what we're dealing with right now. Adam opened the door. The earth, you know, the volcanic eruptions, the plate of the earth having to get out of shape. All right, things happening here and there. Murder, I mean, Cain killing Abel. Death is in operation. Anger and malice and bitterness and evil and people dying in accidents and all. Death is in operation. Somebody opened the door. Somebody opened the door. So Moses says to the children of Israel, listen, there is life and death. But thank God for that. Glory to God. Let me get over quickly now to, you know, 1 Corinthians and the 15th chapter and get back to this Romans 5. You see something here. So 1 Corinthians 15. All right. So it tells us here in the 21st verse, 1 Corinthians 15, 21, just to buttress what we saw in Romans 5:12, it says, for since by man came death, by man also came resurrection from the dead. So once again, it says in Romans 5:12, that through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and death spread upon all men. So here again, he's saying, by man came death, not by the devil, not by God. Somebody opened the door and it entered. By man came death. And by man also would come the resurrection from the dead, or also came the resurrection of the dead. 22, all right, 1 Corinthians 15, 22. But each one, all right, in his own order, all right, Christ the first fruit, afterward them that are, you know, after Christ, all right, since by man came dead. No. Okay, I skipped over to 23. 22, let me read it properly now. For as in Adam all die, All right. Even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive. So 21 says, by man came death. 22 says, in Adam, everybody died. Are you getting this now? 21 says, through man came death. 22 says, in Adam, everybody died. It just goes to establish Romans 5:12. Through one man, sin entered the world. Death entered by sin. So death spread upon all men. And you find out that the whole of humanity, even the earth, even the creatures now, there was no prey, predator issue in the Garden of Eden. None. So the whole earth was affected by the sin of Adam. The entire spectrum of humanity, human existence, the entire universe, basically was affected. But thank God there is the antidote. Do you remember John 10:10? Jesus said, "A thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you may have life. I am come that you may have that life more abundantly." All right, the thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I've come that you may have life. The antidote. Through death. All right, through Adam, there's death. Through Jesus, there's life. You got to get this. So back to Romans 5. Build it up a little bit. And this will help you. This will help your faith to resist the work of the enemy. This will help your faith. Listen, sickness is not the will of God. Oh, you need to get this. No kind of sickness. Someone says, but what if God makes you sick so as to teach you a lesson? So imagine you wanting to teach your child a lesson and then you pour hot water over your child's body. Right? Like boiling hot water. Someone says, no. No parent should be irresponsible enough to do that. That's wickedness. You should take the parent to court. Then let's take God to court. God is wicked. God is sending his kids to hell. God is making people suffer while on earth. Cancer in people's body. People suffering, leukemia and high blood pressures and all of that. And then what's God looking at? Why are people going through all kind of stuff? But that's not God. That's not God. That's not God. In Luke 11, Jesus was saying, if your child should ask you for bread or fish or egg, would you give your child snake or scorpion or stone? The answer is no. And then he said in the 13th verse, Luke 11, 13, said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? If you, being evil, meaning it was talking to mankind, right? Not you, like you, all right? But mankind, if mankind, being evil, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more God? So God is a caring, loving Father. God will go the distance, and God has gone the distance. In Romans 5, Bible tells us, all right, in the 8th verse, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love for us. God has gone the distance. You don't have to suffer what you suffer. You don't. The only suffering a Christian is permitted to suffer is persecution. When you're persecuted for the sake of your faith, you don't suffer sickness. You don't suffer evil. You don't suffer demonic oppression. Or you say, oh, the devil comes at night and presses you on your bed. You find it got to sleep. You do listen. That's you saying the door is open, all right, and I'm going to keep the door open. But for you, it's different, child of God. And that's what we're learning this. Oh, this will stir faith in you. You will slam the door on the devil's face and tell him, listen, you don't have a right. I've allowed you for too long. I've allowed this sickness, I've allowed this disease, I've allowed lack, I've allowed confusion, I've allowed poverty all too long. And I'm saying, not anymore. Not anymore. Listen, there are many things we're begging God for. Oh God, when would you do it? God says, no, I've done it. You put your foot down. Guys, the devil likes to play on our ignorance. He knows we don't know what God has done, or we're not sure if we can really enjoy it. Remember, when the children of Israel were locked in front of the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his men coming from behind, wilderness to the side, Red Sea in front. And then Moses, of course, sounding, you know, like a great man that he is, all right, said to them, hey, everybody, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians you see today, you're not going to see them anymore. But God knew Moses was saying, all right, God, you're next, God, you're next, God, you're next. You know, Moses finished announcing, you're going to see the salvation of God. So Moses did all that. And everybody goes, oh, okay. And you remember God said to Moses, why are you waiting on me? Why are you crying to me? Stretch forth the stick in your hand. Stretch that rod over the waters and divide it. I'll take care of the guys coming up behind you. So there are times we're saying, oh, God's going to do something. God's going to do something. God's going to do something. And everybody's waiting. And God says, I'm waiting too. Take Authority. There's this book by Kenneth Hagin, Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority. I would ask that you get that book if you can. And I believe you can. Right? I appreciate a few folk. All right. Well, I wouldn't know how many people do it, but I get a few feedback. All right. Someone was telling me last week how that when I make recommendations, right, she just goes after them. And I know a few people that, you know, have done that over the years. You know, and interesting, that's how I grew. When I hear, you know, Dad Hagin just make reference to someone, I want to know who that is. I want to listen to the person, you know, find something about the person, you know. So, Believer's Authority, Kenneth Hagin, please get the book. In there, he said he was talking to Jesus, right? He had an appearance of Jesus, all right? And he was talking to Jesus. And suddenly, there was this demon that came into where him and Jesus were speaking. And just, you know, jumping around, yakety, yakety, yak, yakety, 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 yak, yakety, yakety, yak. And he felt, Jesus, this guy is disturbing. All right? And there was this, like, smoke screen, and, you know, the guy was really disturbing. He couldn't hear Jesus so well. He said, Jesus didn't stop talking. And Jesus didn't stop and say, sorry, this guy is up. No, he said, just kept talking. He couldn't hear Jesus well, but Jesus didn't stop talking. He said, he got to a point, he couldn't stick it anymore. And then he said to Jesus, he said to the demon, get out of here in the name of Jesus. I bind you, you know, something like that. And the whole thing left. I said, Jesus, why did you do something? Jesus said, I couldn't. He said, no, I didn't hear you well. Jesus, you're actually saying you wouldn't. Jesus says, no, I couldn't. He said, no, Lord, I didn't hear you well. I didn't hear you well. I didn't hear you well. Lord, you're saying you wouldn't. Jesus said, no, I couldn't. All the power I have, I've released it to the church. The power is now with you to bind the devil. You take authority. And Jesus said, listen, through scripture, there's no place in the New Testament where the church was asked to tell the Lord to take care of the devil. You take authority over the devil. In Mark 16, Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. James 4 says, resist the devil. He will flee from you. Even Peter, when he spoke in chapter 5, said the enemy, you know, moves around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He said, whom you should resist steadfast in your faith. So you're like, okay, I'm waiting for God's time. God says, I'm waiting for you. You know, like when you play chess or drafts, you make a move, the next person makes a move. God made his move through Christ Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross, spent 3 days and nights in the underworld, defeated the devil, paralyzed the enemy, shut the door, brought a reversal to the thing that Adam did. He has undone what Adam did. The next move is yours. You now stand in the authority of Christ Jesus and take authority, child of God. You take authority over what the devil has done. All right? We take authority. I'm going back now to Romans. I believe, you know, all that is stirring you up already. All right? This basically is an introduction, and I trust it's a very, like, good introduction. Are you, you know, being blessed? Yes, you are, right? So in Romans, again, chapter 5, verse 12, all right, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, so death spread upon all men because all have sinned. Death spread on how many people, guys? All, I need you to picture it. Death spread to all men. Death spread to all men. Not physical death. Spiritual death. That's the mother of sickness. You almost wonder where the sickness come from. Acts chapter 10, 38. Acts 10, 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. It's clear how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. That was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are on one side. They're a team. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Trinity on one side. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, that Jesus, he went about doing good. What was the good now? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. That means sickness is satanic oppression. Don't toy with it. Don't say, I just have this boil. It will be gone in 3 days. Don't toy. Speak to it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I resist you. In the name of Jesus, I stand against you. I refuse you, my body. You resist it. Listen, every evil, it's all death. It's death. It's death. It's death. All right? That there's bitterness in families and malice and wars. It's all the spirit of death. So death is not, oh, someone died. No. John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. All right? So Jesus said he came to give life, but to people who were alive. So how do you give life to someone that is already alive? That's already alive. So when he said, I've come to give life, it wasn't being alive. You know, we get to say, and I'll deal with that as the month, you know, the series goes on. Oh, thank God for the gift of life. I just want to thank God for the gift of life that I woke up this morning. No, waking up in the morning is not the gift of life. You're alive. Jesus is the one that came with the gift of life. And he came with the gift of life to people who are alive. Did you get that? Now, slow down. Say it again. Get me. Jesus came and said, I have come that you may have life. He was talking to people that were alive. That means they were alive, but they were dead. Spiritually dead. So he brought us a gift of spiritual life, which is also the blessing. He brought it. Do you get that? So you could be physically alive and then dead. That means anybody on earth right now who doesn't have Christ has not received the gift of life. So the person will wake up in the morning and say, thank God for the gift of life. Honey, you have not received the gift of life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting. That's the gift of life. And it's what you have here, not what you have when you die. All right? You have it now. So someone could be physically alive, but spiritually dead. Did you get that? So Adam was physically standing, but spiritually dead. That spiritual death, like I said, being disconnected from his life source, that spiritual death was what opened the door to the enemy. Adam opened the door to the enemy. Glory to God. I believe this is helpful. I believe it's useful. I believe it's sinking in. Sinking in. So when Moses says, I place before you life and death, we're getting in a minute now. So Romans 5:12 says, death spread to all men. For all have sinned. All right, so verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed, since there was no law. 14, right? You need to focus on 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the sin of Adam. Death was reigning. You know what it means to reign like a king? R-E-I-G-N, all right? Reign, not reign, like R-A-I-N. Death reigned as king from Adam to Moses. Now, this particularly, talking about children of Israel, because Moses was sent to the children of Israel, not to the whole world. Are you getting this now? So death was Lord and reigning. Have you been beside someone dying? You feel so incapacitated, so helpless. There's nothing you could do about it. I've just seen so many people, all right? Even sometimes on Facebook, they put up, you know, so person, so such and such a person needs X, Y, and Z amount of money. And sometimes it's not even on social media. Just go to hospitals and you see too many helpless looking faces. Helpless looking families. The members are not dead yet, but they are almost dead. Everybody's looking sad. They've spent all, like the woman with the issue of blood, all that they have, and the case is not better, but rather growing worse. Come on, child of God. That is not the will of God. We just made reference to Acts 10:38. Sickness is satanic oppression. Stop allowing Satan oppress you. Sickness is not the gift of God. Sickness is not the will of God. And then why can't God do something about it? He has. And part of what he's doing to help is me teaching you right now. Because your faith will rise, your energy will increase, and that thing from the enemy will be knocked off in the name of Jesus. Faith will arise. Glory to God. So Bible says that death reigned from Adam to Moses. So what did Moses do to stop the reign of death? God gave Moses two things. Number one, he gave him the law. Number two, he gave him the priesthood. Remember that? The priesthood. What was about the priesthood? The sacrifices. The shedding of blood. So in them shedding blood, the annual shedding of blood done by the high priest, which is referred to as the atonement, there was a covering over the nation of Israel. They were covered. They were protected. They were shielded. They were preserved from evil. Are you getting this? So death could not find expression over the nation of Israel like it could all over the rest of the world. The babies were being born in due season. Businesses were prospering. Things were going on. What do you call it? The blessing. Like I said again, life is the blessing. The blessing is life. God blessed Adam in Genesis. So Moses began to tell them about the blessing. Remember Deuteronomy 28? He said, if you obey, hearken diligently to what I'm telling you right now, you will be blessed in the city, in the field, your basket, your storehouse, the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground. You will lend, you will not borrow. These guys were just prosperous. They had the blessing. And if you disobey what I'm telling you, the curse, sicknesses, diseases, deaths prematurely, untimely, harvest fields not working, you build a house, you couldn't live in it, you plant a vineyard, you can't get the fruit of it, evil. Please put this in mind. So when you want to get this clear picture, we say life and death. What do we put under life? You get promoted. Your wife is pregnant. Your babies are healthy. Your business is booming. Things are working. That, you know, have you ever experienced what they call vicissitude? Someone's fortune goes up. He's doing well, buys cars and has a great time, and then comes down. It is not the will of God. That's death at work. So look around you. Yeah, take a minute. Look around you. What seems not to show forth life? What seems to experience death? Someone not well? Some money always just seem like running away from you? Now, yeah, we still use our faith. I'm sure every one of us has a faith project here or there. But some things around are showing death. Things are not working. You can't sleep well at night. You're afraid. And may I say, nobody is actually afraid of a bullet. Nobody's afraid of snake bite. You're not afraid of cancer, HIV, coronavirus, or tuberculosis, or whatever else it is. You're not afraid of it. All forms of human fear have their source in the fear of death. What people fear is death. Why do you fear the gun? Because you know what the bullet could do. Death. Why do you fear the snake bite? Because you know the poison. Death. But do you know that the power of death has been broken? The power of death has been broken. The authority, the influence, the energy that death has, that's what Moses did. Please, Romans 5 and 14 again, that death reigned from Adam all the way down till it got to Moses. All of a sudden, death met a master. Death met a master. Hallelujah. It's awesome. Do you remember when they were going to come out of Egypt? All right. The final onslaught, okay, was that the death angel was going to move around town. How were they preserved? They put blood upon the doorpost, upon the lintels of the house. And the instruction was that when the death angel sees the blood, it will pass over. Now, I know that very many of us now wake up every day, I plead the blood over me, over my car, over my house, over my... Relax. They didn't go into the promised land and then start pleading the blood over their houses every day. They did that when they were coming out of Egypt. That is a type and shadow. Jesus shed his blood for us and brought us also out of Egypt. Egypt signifies bondage. Please get that. Egypt is bondage. And then we're brought out of darkness, all right, into his marvelous light. We're brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So they were not shedding, the method of shedding blood and putting upon doorposts every day did not follow them into the promised land. It now moved into the responsibility of the high priest, all right, which is also Christ Jesus. So Jesus, being high priest, shed his blood. Shed his blood to take us out. Shed his blood to pay our price. Shed his blood to settle our sin once and for all. Glory to God. But we're looking at the type and shadow. How that through the instructions God gave Moses, death met a master. That means if death is ravaging in Nigeria, in America, in South Korea, in Ukraine right now, it has a master. Death will get to some places and pause. Why? Some people have been redeemed. Some people are blood bought. Some people are blood washed. Glory to God. Death has a master. It's in the blood sacrifice. So that was what God revealed in the time of Moses. First when they were in Egypt, but primarily when they now became, you know, an independent nation. There were the annual sacrifices of the high priest. Such at any time they disobeyed God, and maybe the Assyrians or anybody came to carry them away, all they did is remember the covenant with God, plead that covenant. God, your covenant with our fathers. We repent. We get back to you. And then the high priest know what to do. They offer sacrifices. The peace offering, the heave offering, the way. They know what to do. They offer sacrifice and burnt offerings. Once there's a sacrifice, they just activate covenant. Glory to God. Death pulls back from Israel. The farm produce begins to rise. Things begin to work well. The death issue begins to go on. You remember when David numbered the children of Israel? And then death began to ravage. Thousands of people began to die. What did David do? He offered sacrifice. Death has a bus stop. Death knows his master. When death meets the blood sacrifice, death will pass. That's why the occultic world has this understanding. Someone says, oh, there's death over him. He needs to preserve his own life. He goes to kill another person or kill an animal and offer, you know, the animal, you know, the blood of the animal, of the goat, of the cattle, of whatever it is. He offers the animal and says, oh, life for life. I give this goat. I offer this chicken or whatever it is and say, because I've shed this blood, my life is preserved. You find businessmen and politicians and all of that. Right, being said on how, you know, we're told how they get involved in some of these horrible sacrifices. Why? They're toying around death. Oh, but there's a better sacrifice. There's a more glorious sacrifice. And a man had to be given. Human blood had to be shed. But it wasn't mere human blood. Hallelujah. It was a blood of God becoming human. Oh, Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God had to give his blood because human blood could not offer. Listen, the final sacrifice. Bible says the blood of bulls and of goats could not finally take away sin. And God wasn't going to raise us as cannibals where we kill one another to offer sacrifices. Remember what we read earlier, okay, in 1 Corinthians 15, that through Adam came death and then through Jesus comes the resurrection. And he says again that through Adam, all right, we all die, and through Jesus we all become alive. So through one man, death came in. Then the door was opened by a man. The door had to be closed by another man. Did you get that? Adam opened the door. Jesus shut the door. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So death reigned. And if we're not careful, death is still reigning even in the lives of believers. Why do you pray before you travel? You're afraid of death. Why do you pray before you go to bed at night? Is it wrong to pray before you travel? No, but check why. You might want to bless God over the journey and thank him for the fruitfulness of the journey and release your faith and thank him for the things that you've set your heart to do. Or you might want to thank him for a great day and then thank him for your family and how he's kept you and preserved you and his riches of glory in Christ Jesus. Oh yeah, but why do you pray before you go to bed at night? Why do you pray? Fear of death for many people. You pray before you travel, fear of death. I mean, you're busy praying, all right? And then one unbeliever sitting beside you is just busy snoring and sleeping or chatting or doing something. Didn't even remember to pray. And they're afraid. Why are you afraid? You are the one that's been delivered from the power of darkness. They aren't. And then they are still sometimes carefree. Come on, child of God. It's time to know what you have. Bible says again, I place for you life and death, blessing and cursing, good and evil. Choose life. Moses told them to choose. The moment you became born again, you chose life. You chose life. John 3:16 again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you born again? You have everlasting life. You have everlasting life. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's death reigning now. Death reigning, wanting to enter the lives of the children, make them paralyzed, make them sick. You say, no, not in this place. Not in this place. You feel a pain in your body. Don't say, I'm getting older. It's old. Stop it. It's death that is at work. Abraham grew to a fine old age. Moses grew to a fine old age. Even when Abraham couldn't reproduce anymore, Bible said his body was dead. Life, hey, surged into him again. Life surged into him. Life surged into Sarah. Don't end. Don't speak death over yourself. Because you're born again, you have chosen life, all right? You might therefore, please get this. You're born again, so you're not, I place for your life and death, blessing and cursing. You're born again, so you've chosen life by choosing Christ, all right? The thief comes, steal, kill, destroy. I have come that you may have life. The day you got born again, you received that life of Christ into you. Do you understand that now? Which is the antidote to death, then why are we still dying? Because you now need to take the next step. An aggressive faith. You remember what Proverbs 18 tells us in verse 21? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now you've chosen Christ. His life is available for you. What do you say? Oh, this sickness has come again. This my sick. No, it's not yours. Refuse it. Sickness is satanic oppression. Sickness is, don't say I'm going to sleep again even if I'm going to sleep tonight. No, you're going to deal with that. You're going to deal with that. I believe this is blessed. You're going to look at this. This is our series for the month. All right. Oh, glory to God. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Let me leave you with John 5:24. John 5:24 says, most assuredly, I say to you, all right, he that hears my word and believes in him that sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Has passed from death to life. So you, child of God, you have passed from death to life, meaning you have passed also from the curse into the blessing. You've passed, you've moved. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. So anything that looks like death around you, begin to say, I have the life of God. And then begin to speak into it. Take authority. Take authority. Take authority. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. I believe this blessed you. Please share. Share with someone. Let someone get on this series with us. Let somebody get blessed. All right. If you're watching on Instagram, this will be up on my IGTV in a couple of, maybe in about an hour and a half. All right. It will be up. You can watch again and again and again and then share. If you're listening on Spreaker, please share. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, please just hit the share button. Someone will be delivered by this series. All right. Let this just find expression. And then I want to offer you a 12-part series. It's called Understanding Life. It's on our website. The details are on the screen of the website, all right? If you're listening on Spreaker, it's LarryRexOnosia.com. LarryRexOnosia. That's Larry, L-A-N-R-E, Rex, R-E-X. That'll be, there'll be double R somewhere. I mean, Larry Rex, all right? R-E, Larry Rex, Onosia, all right? .com. Please, whatever platform you're listening on or watching, my name is somewhere up there. So just put it all together and put .com at the end of it. Is that all right? Just get up there, understanding life. It's about the next, maybe the second or third message you find, and then just see part 1 to 12. Download. 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 Let's understand what this gift of life is, and let's maximize it and put an end to anything that looks like death. Glory to God. I believe this blessed you. Send me an email. Give feedback. It would be great to hear from you. Till I see you next Sunday, keep enjoying the life of God. Bye.